This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and today we've got a show full of summer entertainment from movies to music. And first, we're joined by film critic and writer Tom Ernst, who's always here at Christmas, at holiday time. So I know what you're thinking. Is it Christmas already? Because Tom Ernst is always with us for our annual Christmas show. Well, just think of this as Christmas in July. Also on the program, we'll be joined by singer-songwriter Sarah Kay, who will be coming up later on in the program with some of her beautiful music off of her latest album. But first, let me tell you a little bit more about our first guest, return guest, Tom Ernst. Tom is a Toronto-based film critic and writer, an active member of the Toronto Film Critics Association. His written work on film has appeared in various publications, and Tom is perhaps best remembered as the host, interviewer, and producer of television's longest-running movie program, Saturday Night at the Movies, also Bell Media's Making Movies the Canadian Way. We love that. And currently, Tom's film reviews can be read on originalsin.ca and northernstars.ca. And Tom's first book, which we've talked about on this show, The Wild Boy of Wabamuck, chronicles his life growing up with an abusive father in rural Ontario. But ultimately, what I love about The Wild Boy of Wabamuck is that it's a story of triumph, because it's about a man who grew up to become a successful film critic and broadcaster and wonderful father and husband and person, despite a very difficult childhood. It reminds us all that life, even at its darkest, can surprise us with moments of joy and hope and dreams for the future. And that book, by the way, was published by Dundurn Press. And you can actually check back at findingyourbliss.com/radio and listen to that interview. It was a lovely one. Also, Tom has penned the 101 Fascinating Canadian Film and TV Facts, which really is a must-read for Canadian TV and film lovers. And I really enjoyed it. There were so many cool facts. It's just a real fun summer read. So I'd get a copy of that as well. And today, Tom is going to tell us all about the latest and greatest in entertainment this summer. Tom Ernst, welcome back to Finding Your Bliss for, I don't know, is it the sixth or the seventh time? I've lost track.
I don't count because I just sort of accept it as part of my universe now. And so how many times to come and how many times have been, it's just whatever it is. It's been enough times to know that I feel welcome when I come on. And you're a welcome sight always, Judy.
Thank you. So are you. So I want to get right into it with Jaws. And of course, Jaws is one of the best thrillers ever made. And it's the 50th anniversary, I can't believe it, of the movie this summer. And what a great place to start when it comes to summer movies coming out this year, since Jaws really launched the concept of the summer blockbuster, as it were. But interestingly, Jaws was not supposed to be a summer film and was slated for a fall release, but all the shooting and technical setbacks pushed the release date to the summer of 1975. Can you say more about Jaws?
Oh, there are no mistakes, because so many things that did go wrong with that production. First of all, it was Spielberg's first theatrical release. He did a film called Duo before that. That was his UCLA thesis project, and in itself is an amazing picture. But this one, Bruce, and Bruce is the mechanical shark they work with, is now infamously known as to be the one aspect of the film that did not and would not work. So now all of a sudden, all the shots that they had with the shark attacking weren't available. So they had to come up with something else. And that's where you get the really tense approaching of the shark by the mere John Williams music that is now so famous, you know, that dun, 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 you know, and then you just start looking around, where's the shark coming from? And as you said, other setbacks made it that they had to push the release to a different date, which if any of those things had gone according to plan, it may not have been the phenomena that we know today. I mean, it's hard to imagine it wouldn't been because it's such a great movie. But, you know, let me take a step back. It is possible to imagine that because had we seen the shark, had Bruce worked, it might not have been as effective.
Totally.
Our imagination may not have come into play as much as it has.
Everything happens for a reason.
Everything happens for a reason. And Spielberg, you know, he owes his career to this first film. And I show this film frequently.
Really?
And it still has the impact today that it did when I was 17 years old and that film came out.
How scared were you when you first saw it at age 17? Because it's a scary movie. And back in the day, like even more so.
Well, Judy, you know me. I wasn't afraid. I did jump. I jumped. And then maybe these are spoilers, but you don't know when they're going to happen. I jumped when the head fell out of the boat.
Yes.
Which was tested on audiences and didn't work. And he had to keep reshooting and fine tuning that scene before he actually got a scream out of people.
Wow.
But you know what? It wasn't the scares that really got me in that movie. What really stayed with me was the family dynamic and the underlying human quality to all the characters. Yeah. You have that mother who lost a son at the beach to the shark and blames Sheriff Brody for that. Incidentally, the woman who played that character went to a restaurant. She noticed that it was named after her character's son and thought, well, what an interesting thing. She goes to the restaurant, has the meal, says to the waiter, by the way, your restaurant is named after my son, the character in the film. The waiter leaves and brings back the owner of the restaurant, who is the young boy who plays her son.
No!
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that a great story?
That's a great. Is that in your book?
No, because it's not a Canadian film.
It's not a Canadian film. Right.
Yeah,
right.
So, I tell you, 101 great things about shark movies. I'll put it in.
What an amazing. Isn't that interesting, eh?
That's a wonderful story.
I want to jump a little bit of a non sequitur to TV for a moment, because I'm dying to talk to you about Kieran Culkin in a lot of things, in Succession. Yeah. And I know you loved him in that as well. We talked about it on the phone. And I don't know about you, but Kieran Culkin's character, Roman, was my favorite because I found him to be so real and human and funny and sassy and sarcastic and yet lovable and sweet.
Yeah.
What did you think about, first of all, about him in Succession? Then we'll talk about his film. And he's also been on Broadway. So he's killing it.
Yeah, I think, again, when we're talking about actors in particular, I fall in love with a character, as most people do.
Yes.
But then sometimes I fall in love with the actor themselves, if in fact they seem to have come from a place that they weren't always winning at.
Yes.
And the Culkins, whether it's Macaulay or Kieran, they seem to have been blessed with abilities to act and blessed with the opportunity to act, but they also seem to have issues with substance abuse and other things that had them in the gossip columns. Mm-hmm. And they seem to surpass that. Mm-hmm. And Kieran is somebody, his performances are exactly as you say in Succession. None of these characters are particularly great. They're well-rounded characters.
Yes.
They have foibles and they have things we like about them and things we don't. And one episode we can dislike them and one episode we can absolutely love them.
Yes.
With Kieran's character as Roman, even when he wasn't a great guy, I knew I liked him.
100%.
I knew that there 100%. Was just some, he was a smart aleck and he was also the youngest. So you understood that he was fighting something within that family group, that family dynamics.
Yes.
And he just excelled in his performances. The funeral scene, again, not to ruin tape, is
one
of the most dramatic and, you know, heartfelt scenes in television.
Yes.
And the fact that that scene itself, which I think in a lesser show, people would have gone, everybody would have sympathetically referred to it. His character, Roman, was also sort of dragged through the mud for it, even though as an audience member, we could see that the vulnerability was absolutely sensational.
He couldn't speak. Everyone else could speak and make all these speeches and do what they had to do. He couldn't speak because really he loved and revered and maybe feared his father, all of the above. And that was the most human reaction. He just couldn't get through the words. He couldn't.
And he was the baby of them.
He was.
You know?
He was. Oh, I just love it. I love that you love that as well. And then, of course, he went on to do, and I saw it on an airplane, his most recent movie, A Real Pain, which was incredible. And he won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor for that. Like, what did you think of A Real Pain? That was like such a surprise.
Yeah, and the fact that it was written and directed by Jesse Eisenberg, who has the kind of energy you would think couldn't sit down to, you know, like finish a bowl of cereal. you manage that too. That too is phenomenal. But they're good friends, and they really performed well off of each other. It was a great two-hander. And I think that, once again, Karen just rocked that performance. Oh. He seemed to enjoy himself immensely.
Yes.
What I found disappointing, not about the show, but about the Oscar win, is that he did not stay at the podium long enough. He just sort of came up, thanked people, and left. And I went, don't you dare be humble.
Yes, I know.
Don't you dare be humble.
You're so right. As opposed to those who milk it, then there's those who milk and milk and milk until you're like, get me out of the barn. You know? But you're right. You're right. He didn't, and you wanted more. But guess what? He'll be back there again. Kieran, we know you'll be back there.
And I understand his brother is doing better now, too. So that's good to hear.
Yeah, totally. And just to say this for the theater buffs out there, not to mention his recent role as Richard Roma in Glengarry Glen Ross on Broadway. I mean, how cool is that to go from this incredibly successful TV series to an Oscar and then to a Broadway role? Like, what can't this guy do, right?
Let's just hope he doesn't get into radio, Judy.
Oh, no, I'll be in big trouble.
Or film criticism.
We can't compete. The other series we talked about, Tom, was White Lotus Season 3. And I just loved it, even though it was quite dark.
Yeah.
And you know that I like light affair, but it was quite dark, but it was fabulous. I watched it with my husband. What did you think about it?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one, and maybe because it was a bit darker than the others. I'm still angry at them for what they did to Jennifer Coolidge in Season 2.
I know. Do you know how much time I spend trying to do imitations of Jennifer Coolidge?
Can you do one?
Not right now, but I will do one for you.
You know who does?
I know what you're going to say. Ariana Grande?
Ariana Grande does a great one.
She kills it.
She is the first person I've heard do a Jennifer Coolidge. I was just really happy that Ariana Grande knew who she was.
Yes.
You know, because she started to do these imitations before the White Lotus. So
Yes. No, she was. I mean, you don't know what to watch first. You want to rewatch her episodes, Jennifer Coolidge. Then you want to rewatch her acceptance speech at the Emmys. You want to rewatch her Golden Globe acceptance speech because they're all so good. And the speeches, I think, are every bit as good as the performance.
Oh, yeah. It reminded me of when Mickey Rourke was going around winning awards for The Wrestler.
Yes.
And he just said whatever was on his mind.
Yes.
And I remember him at, I know we're here not to talk about him, but he was receiving his award at the Golden Globes. And there was a woman, just one of those women who hold those awards, and he was thanking everybody. And then he turns to her and says, "I don't know what you do, but I'm sure you do it well." And I thought, Jennifer Coolidge reminds me of that kind of attitude.
Yeah. Yeah. She's
And anyway, her character was just phenomenal. And she is one of the great, great under the radar comedians.
Yes.
No longer under the radar, but she was at one time an under the radar comedian that only guys like Christopher Guest were aware of.
That's right. Yeah. She did all those films and, you know, what does she do? All the Legally Blondes and all those kinds of things. Yeah. And then suddenly, you know, what a great topic to talk about on this show, that it doesn't matter at what age or stage. There's actors who began in their 60s and 70s to go on to become great, great actors that are getting the kind of, you know, press and recognition that they deserve. Exactly. And she waited a long time for it, but boy, oh boy.
Yeah. And I'm beginning to think that Mike White, who makes the White Lotus series, writes and directs them, he's becoming the Quentin Tarantino of finding stars that we forgot.
Yes.
And then putting them back in the limelight. Because here in this new one, we have Parker Posey, who was once the queen of independent cinema. And as she kind of in this film has the distinct accent that once belonged to Jennifer Coolidge and previous shows. And so she sort of takes on that. You also have Walter Grogans, who a very interesting character as an actor, playing the disgruntled, you know, man who does not want to be there.
Yeah.
But he's also somebody who has just played bit parts and is really starting to get the recognition because of this series that I think he deserves.
So cool. Do you think, like, on The Young and the Restless, when they, like, bring someone back from the dead, they might have, like, resuscitate her from under the ocean? I don't know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Or twin brothers or whatever. Yeah, in the case.
That'd be so good. Anyway, are there any other, briefly, because I know we have so much to talk about, TV series that you and your daughter, who's part of doing the research for this show always, would love to recommend for the summer?
Well, my recommendation is this very, very odd show. It's very odd, called The Rehearsal. And it's with Nathan Fielder, who's a comedian. His humor is incredibly deadpan. I don't always get it. And as a matter of fact, his new show, The Rehearsal, he takes an incident that he thinks people need. It's a documentary comedy that need fixing, like someone's relationship or something. And so he recreates a scene as best as he can and rehearses it so that they get it right, maybe. But what happens is, in the episodes I've seen in season two, is he finds other things about it that he didn't expect. And it's a surprise. And as he said in one of his episodes, I'm a comedian 15 minutes into a comedy show and haven't got a laugh yet.
Oh,
and the thing is, he's right, but it's okay because he's finding problems in places like the problems between episodes I saw between pilots and co-pilots by examining crashes.
Wow.
And then he has this money that HBO gave him that's phenomenal. He rebuilds a simulated airport in a factory, hires actors to play. It's phenomenal.
Oh my gosh. Where is this? It is an odd show. Where is it available?
I believe it's on Crave.
It's on Crave. If not, Google it, and you'll find it.
The rehearsal.
Wow.
That's the one that sort of really stuck with me. And it is unusual.
Oh, that's so cool.
My daughter is into an Australian sitcom called Adults.
Nice.
And she thinks it's hilarious.
Quick premise.
I'm still waiting to warm up to the characters. But my daughter's 18 now, so our tastes are not so wide apart anymore.
So. That's so fun, eh? That's the best.
Yeah, it is the best.
Let's go back to the films and summer movies. We also talked about Sinners, directed by Ryan Coogler, the director of Black Panther and Creed, and starring Michael B. Jordan. Sinners is about twin brothers trying to leave their troubled lives behind and return to their hometown to start again, only to discover that an even greater evil is waiting to welcome them back. But Tom, you say it's even deeper than that. Can you tell us about Sinners, which was released on April 18th, 2025?
Yeah, well, right now Sinners is available to stream. You have to still pay for it. But if Sinners is available on a big screen, please go see it. It is just a magical movie. Wow. It is a surprise from the very first screen or
frame,
that's what I'm trying to say, to the very last frame.
Wow.
It is a long movie. It takes you so many different places.
Wow.
It is basically a musical without being a musical, as you might think. It's best described as a film with music in it. But it's about racism. Mm-hmm. It's about that tenuous period and people who are perhaps still in, you know, that this still affects, they would say the tenuous period still exists. But it was a tenuous period between slavery and no slavery, where blacks were walking the streets as opposed to being expected to be enslaved. And nothing can get a white Southerner of that era more upset than two black men who come in and buy up their land and purchase a speakeasy.
Wow.
So, but it's about spirits that live in music, and that it's about a guy who plays so well on his guitar, a young boy, that his father, who is a preacher, says, "You're going to bring out the devil with your music." And sure enough, that happens.
Wow.
But I cannot stress just how much more the film is than this. So if you tell me you don't like musicals, I'm going to say, forget that it's a musical. Go see it. If you tell me you don't like horror films, I'm going to say, forget that there are vampires. Go see it. Wow. If you tell me you don't like social dramas, I'm going to say, well, it's a horror film and a musical. You know, either way, I don't care what your preferences are.
You're going to love it.
This movie is worth seeing.
That's so great. So everyone's sinners. And we have a clip courtesy of Warner Brothers to share with our audience. Let's all have a listen.
We've been gone a long time. We back now.
You twins?
Nah, we cousins.
There are legends of people with the gift of making music so true it can conjure spirits from the past and the future. This gift can bring fame and fortune.
Will somebody take me in your eyes?
But it also can pierce the veil between life and death.
Listen here. This ain't no house party.
Y'all ready to drink? Y'all ready to sweat till y'all stink?
You want some?
You keep dancing with the devil.
Careful, boy. You gonna bite off more than you can chew. Love you.
One day he's gonna follow you home.
You got us a problem now.
What the hell going on?
Oh, we heard tale of a party.
This world already left you for dead.
I can save you from your fate.
You don't need no saving.
Yes, you do.
And you are?
I am.
Your way out.
Don't cry. He's all better now.
Yes, I lied to you.
Whoa! Okay, that is scary. But I do love the music. So my in is the music. That music's
your
fabulous.
Your in's the music. Oh. But you know what? Yes, there are moments. There's about, I would say about 20 minutes of horror in it. And it's tame, relatively. But there are moments in there that I can't tell you about because you just have to discover it.
Wow.
And believe me, Judy, it's jaw-dropping.
Oh my God, sinners. Well, I'm in. You've convinced me and I'm definitely going to check it out. That sounds amazing. Thank you for that. The next film I'd love to talk about is How to Train Your Dragon. I know it was released 2 weeks ago on June 13th, 2025. But from my understanding, this is the live action remake of the first animated film in the trilogy, which came out in 2010. The story follows Hiccup, a young Viking who discovers a Night Fury dragon and instead of killing it, befriends it, changing the Viking's perception of dragons. Tom, what can you tell us about the live action remake of How to Train Your Dragon?
Well, you know, I did not want to review this one. Somebody else on our team at Original Sin picked it up and couldn't make it. And so basically, because I am devoted to my editors at that website, I said, fine. And I was sure I wasn't going to like it. And I was Mr. Grumpy. There. I sat in the theater with my arms crossed, just what am I doing now? And I really wanted everybody around me to know that I did not want to be there. I don't know why. And then the film started. And I think the reason is I saw the film as an animated film and it was fine for me then. It wasn't, you know, groundbreaking. And I thought, why do I need to see a live action, which is going to be less than what we already saw? But somehow, from my perspective, something transcended. And I thought about it long and hard. And what transcended was the human quality that is capable by live action. Mm-hmm. And it isn't true of all movies that get go from animation to real life, but it was true of this one, somehow transcended the animation and became something deeper.
Wow.
And I started to look at the title, How to Train Your Dragon. Mm-hmm. And I realized maybe they're not talking about dragons at all.
Yeah.
Maybe they're talking about our perceptions of what other creatures are like, what they need, who we are like, what our history has taught us. Maybe we have to look at all of that and just say, settle down and review what we're thinking and how we're handling it. And through that perspective, I saw an action film, a comedic film, and the young man who plays Hiccup, Mason Thames, who, by the way, was the guy who fought off Ethan Hawke in the serial killer movie Black Phone.
Wow.
And he has comic timing that is remarkable.
Unparalleled.
Yeah, he's like a young Dustin Hoffman. And if anybody needs a more current reference, he's like a Paul Rudd. You know, clumsy, charming, whimsical. The film really worked for me. I'm glad I saw it.
So intriguing. And I love that they're using the same score from the original animated movie in the trailer. So I kind of love the whole idea. That sounds really, really wonderful. So we're talking about dragons and giant lizards. Like, it's dinosaur summer here. We got to talk about the latest Jurassic Park film starring my favorite, Scarlett Johansson. I love Scarlett Johansson. She's starring in Jurassic Park Rebirth, which is being released in a few days on July 2nd, 2025. What characterizes, Tom, this Jurassic from all of the other films in the Jurassic Park series?
Well, it's trying to pick up from where the last one left off. And I have yet to see this one. So everything I say is speculation at this point.
Yes.
And I'm going to hold back any I'm not even going to go in with my How to Train Your Dragon attitude. I'm going to go in with an open mind on this. But I think the fact that we have Scarlett Johansson in here is a good sign.
Yes.
And it's directed by Gareth Edwards, who I think has a more introspective look at monsters. He did a film, it's one of his first, called Monsters, which is one of the most introspective and unusual takes on otherly creatures. It's neither violent nor gory or any of those things, but it's more of a just sort of an understood reality that you haven't seen before in his films. And if you happen to have seen Godzilla, his Godzilla that he did, that too took a long time before we got to the monster.
Yes.
It was more human driven before we ever saw the creature. And I think that's what Gareth Edwards does, is that he finds, again, I've been saying this a lot during this interview, the humanity in the characters, not necessarily the monsters, not necessarily the dinosaurs in this case, but perhaps he does. He might go a little more King Kong than he has in the past. But I think if I'm going to see anything different in this film, my suspicions are it's going to be because of the director.
Wow. Love that. Well, we have the teaser trailer courtesy of Universal Pictures to share with our audience. Let's roll that clip.
He's your guy?
We're the best at moving things and people in and out of places they shouldn't be.
We avoid government patrol, but there aren't that many anymore.
Why's that?
No one's dumb enough to go where we're going.
This island was the research facility for the original Jurassic Park.
Please don't say they're raptors. They're raptors.
The worst of the worst. We're left here.
Come on! Duncan!
We put ourselves in a place we don't belong. Survival is a long shot.
What the hell are those?
Oh my
God. Sounds like a lot of angry dinosaurs.
A lot of anger. I mean, I love that the iconic superstar Scarlett Johansson is in this film playing skilled covert operations expert Zora Bennett. That was her, right, in the film, who's contracted to lead a skilled team on a top secret mission to secure the genetic material. And what do you just love about the whole idea of Scarlett and of her in this film and the film? What are you the most excited about?
Well, I was thinking about, has Jurassic World up its game by having Scarlett Johansson in it, or is Scarlett Johansson downing her game a bit? And that's to be seen. And again, I don't want to be cynical, because I was the one person that actually thought Jurassic Park 2, The Lost World, was the better of all of them.
Really?
That's a rare take on it. So I like that kind of adventure. And Scarlett Johansson is, as we've seen from the Marvel movies, a good action star.
Yes.
She's a solid actor and she's a smart woman.
Yeah, she is.
And she's sought after, you know, like the biggest directors in Hollywood still want her. And why not? So I don't think she's going to take on a role lightly. I don't think she needs the money. So I suspect that there's something about this script
that appealed to her. That's so cool.
That appealed to her.
I know they're telling me to wrap, but I got to do this with you quickly. Happy Gilmore 2 on Netflix is a sequel to Happy Gilmore, which came out in 1996 with Adam Sandler reprising his role as Happy. The premise involves retired golfer Happy Gilmore returning to the sport 30 years later after winning his first tour to pay for his daughter Vienna's ballet school. Love the premise. Can you tell us more about that? You need some lightness, you know? You need some lightness, right?
You know, again, I'm going to ostracize myself here. I'm not a Happy Gilmore fan. But the fact that after all these years, there's a Happy Gilmore too, I'm not going to miss it.
It's crazy.
I'm going to watch it. But sadly, Bob Barker won't be in it.
Oh,
who was
know.
Sort of the standout in the first one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I loved him.
We'll see. You know, we've got to admit that Adam Sandler, we don't have to admit it, but, you know, I have to at least confess, Adam Sandler does do some wonderful things.
He does.
Especially in his dramatic roles.
Yes.
And so when he lets loose and does something crazy, well, you know, let's hope it's another Wedding Singer, as far as I'm concerned.
Totally. Let's have a quick listen to Happy Gilmore, the trailer. Let's roll that clip.
My name is Happy Gilmore. 30 years ago, I decided to give golf a try.
But even when you're at the top of your game, you can always shank one.
Happy Gilmore sucks.
Oh, eat a bag of shit!
How are you going to put Vienna through ballet school?
It's $75,000 a year. That's 4 years. That's 333 grand.
That's terrible math, Johnny. It's 300 grand. I wouldn't even know where to start.
Let them see the Happy I fell in love with.
Come on, you gotta do it, Dad.
All right, let's go. Let's go get him, Dad.
But how about the jig?
I know how to do it, Dad.
Let's go.
What the hell is happening?
Okay, I'm loving this already because just the juxtaposition of all of that with this ballet school, I could just see it right now.
Well, that's kind of your life, though, isn't it? Like,
so I think you're right.
Can see that. I don't know if your husband's a golfer.
I know. He'd love to be. He's too busy, yeah. But it's his dream to be able to do that, absolutely. As you know, there's a question we ask everyone at the end of the show. We have so much more, so we have to have you back on. Oh, we know we have Christmas, but we might have to find another maybe September movies. I don't know. There's a question we ask everyone at the end of the show, and of course, we're going to ask it to you again for a sixth or seventh time. What is bliss these days for Tom Ernst?
Yes, bliss these days, aside from the normal, is actually a rainy summer's day, so no one complains that I'm sitting inside watching movies.
I love that. You don't have to be outside. You have the best excuse.
Yeah,
to watch movies from morning till night in your PJs.
I wake up and I go, oh, rats, it's beautiful outside.
That's fabulous. Tom, it's always so wonderful. I'm not even going to ask you the last question, what's the best way for people to contact you and connect with you on social media? I'm just going to put it out there because Tom doesn't know his social media, but I'll tell you how to find him at the end of the show. Don't you worry.
Thank you, Judy.
It's all, you know, I think I'm just having this idea that this should become a regular thing, not just Christmas, but Christmas in July as well. What do you think?
I'm up for it.
I like it.
I'm up for it. I'll start preparing next year's script now.
Okay. Let's do that.
Okay.
We're going to go on a short commercial break. More with Finding Your Bliss and our next guest, singer-songwriter Sarah Kay, when we come back. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. This segment is sponsored by Toronto's finest dry cleaners, whom I've been using for over 25 years, and that is Ashford Cleaners, Toronto's best fabric care since 1995. And we're so happy to introduce our listeners to this wonderful family-owned business. They're not only dry cleaners, they're also fantastic dressmakers. Welcome, Ashford Cleaners, to Finding Your Bliss. I'm delighted to be joined by singer-songwriter Sarah Kay. And Sarah Kay is an Ojibwe and Cree artist, writer, and performer, really with limitless range, both in the stories that she tells and where she tells them. A member of Lake Helen First Nation, Sarah got her start touring Northern Ontario with her counselor father, speaking and singing in schools and community gatherings from the age of 12. Wow. And today, as an honors graduate and Founders Award recipient at the esteemed Metalworks Institute in Mississauga and CJF CBC Indigenous Journalism Fellow in Winnipeg. Sarah's early career accomplishments, quite impressive, actually, I'll tell you what some of them are. They include a concert series with the Thunder Bay Symphony Orchestra, Rise with Sarah Kay, co-creating a musical theater production, Trading Places, partnering with Susan Aglukark Arctic Rose Foundation, and opening for Juno Award-winning Asanabi. On the radio, Sarah's been heard as a recording artist on her debut singles, Rise and Constellations, headlining her own Toronto radio program with APTN and hosting National Truth and Reconciliation Day programming on the CBC. Wow. Her single 25, released on September 27th on all streaming platforms, opened a really new and exciting musical chapter in the story of Sarah Kay, told with the tone, nuance, and personality that you would expect from a prodigy of Sarah's caliber and lived experience. The full-length EP, funded by the Ontario Arts Council, is an intimate, organic, and upbeat tribute to Sarah's growth. The recently released One Good Reason, love that, is one of the many new songs to be released in 2025. Sarah, welcome to Finding Your Bliss, and congrats on all of this stuff.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
It's great to have you. I want to congratulate you again on your album, and I hope I don't butcher it this time, Medadazi.
Good job. Yay. You got it.
It's really beautiful. And
thank you.
What I love is that you create a mix of pop and country and folk music, and the blend is very hauntingly beautiful and ethereal. Those were thank the notes you. I was writing, and I just loved it. And before we hear some of your music, I just thought maybe you could take us back and share with us what your musical journey has been like, how it began, and really what it was like for you. What I'm interested in is the first time you performed and sang on stage. Can you take us back to that moment and describe what that was like for you?
Yeah, I've been creating music for a while now. I think I started singing around the age of like 8 and started to realize that I felt good on stage. And so I think the first time I performed with my dad, he was playing guitar for me, and I felt this connection. I felt excited to share music with other people, and it just made me feel special, and it made me feel like I was kind of living my purpose in this world. And so it started very young. I've ebbed and flowed with it. Sometimes I focused on being a teenager and being silly and falling in love with people. And then I just let music go for a bit. But recently, in the last little bit, I've been honing into that. So my journey's just been like, I think everybody else's, all over the place, chaotic, not really ever sure what the path looks like. I just know I want to keep going down it. And it's been great. It's been really rewarding, I think is a good word to describe it, rewarding and purposeful.
Isn't that wonderful? That's all about what this show's all about, really, is finding your dharma, your calling, your purpose, right? And and when you know it at such a young age and you can actually live it and not just find your bliss, but follow it. I mean, what could be better than that? Because we do make the world a better place, and we know what that is, don't we?
Of course. And I'm so grateful, like you said, to find that at such a young age. It kept me grounded and made me feel very fulfilled.
Wow. I love that. Good for you. Good for you. You started touring at 12 years old. That's young. That must have been a very exciting time. Can you tell us what that looked like for you?
Yeah. Northern Ontario is pretty cold. And in the summer, you get a couple of nice months, but most of the time you're living in like a little bit of that winter, dark, depressing time. And so my father would take me on tour with him and we would be on the road. He usually got hired as a contract as a drug and alcohol counselor. And then he found kind of a space for me to use music to connect with youth. And it was through music. And so I'd come and hang out with young people around the same age as me, honestly, and talk about how music has allowed me to feel grounded in who I am, feel confident, feel good about myself. And we would just go into schools, we'd go into different communities. And so it was fun. It was like a nice excuse to not go to school because I'd be like, oh, I'm going to work. And I'm getting paid to be there. So my dad was very adamant on making sure that I understood that my gifts are valuable and that I should be compensated for those gifts. And so I felt really passionate about it. And it made me feel good to go to work and just do what I love to do and connect with other youth. And it was always a funny experience. And we'd end up in some crazy situations, but it was fun. And I'm glad I got to spend my younger years doing that with him.
That's awesome. Did you create any aspiring singer-songwriters? Do you think you affected any of the kids that you were singing for?
I would like to think so. I definitely would be honored. There's been a few youth who have come up to me and said, I remember you from when you came to my school when I was 12. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that's so crazy. I haven't changed much physically. So
they recognize you.
They know me. Yeah. I still have like the big smile and everything like that. So they'll come up and say that. But I'm hoping that some of them connected, even if it's not to music, but connected to whatever their purpose is for using their voice and in whatever capacity that is.
Absolutely. So I just want to begin by giving the audience a taste of your music. And I'd love to start with sharing a little clip from your song, Wonder. It's very magical. There's something about that song that I really love. So can you set up Wonder for us?
So Wonder, I wrote just thinking about the land that I grew up on. As an Indigenous person, I'm very connected to my land, to the things that it gives me, which is everything that I truly do need. And so I wrote Wonder, talking about how we tend to take advantage of the conversations we can't have with that world around us, and that we are a bit disconnected from it these days, and that we should kind of return to our roots as humans. Like, we're part of an ecosystem, we're a part of that land. And so Wonder is a dedication to all of that. It's also a dedication to my mother, who grew up in Treaty 3 area, and to my Chumash, who grew up on the land. Like, it's just for the people that came before me who have taught me to honor those things. And yeah, it's just part of who I am as a person.
Let's all have a listen to Wonder. Due to international copyright law, podcasts are unable to include music. Music can only be played on the live radio broadcast. Finding Your Bliss airs every Saturday at 1 p.m. If you'd like to hear this artist's music, you can find the link to our Finding Your Bliss SoundCloud in the episode description. Oh, that's it. That was beautiful. I want to hear more. That's cool. How did it feel when you made that song? That must have been so great.
I felt connected. And I think sometimes I feel that disconnected. I think we're feeling in like a consumerist world that we're feeling in today's world with on our phones all the time. So I wrote the song and I was like, wow, I need to return back to the things that make me feel how this song makes me feel. So Wonder's special to me in that way.
That's so fantastic. I don't know. It just makes me feel so happy and so inspired. Aww, and
good.
It's really gorgeous. Really,
good.
Really great.
Thank you.
So again, congratulations on making this album, Medda Dizzy.
You got it.
Got it. And I know that the full-length EP was funded by the Ontario Arts Council, and it's an intimate, organic, and upbeat tribute to your growth. And I also can't wait to share One Good Reason with our listeners later on in this segment. Mm-hmm. But I also wanted to share some of your single 25, which was released last October on all streaming platforms. And it really opened up a new and exciting musical chapter for you. How so? We're going to find out exactly how it achieved that after this short commercial break. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back. And this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio AM 740. And I'm delighted to be here with singer-songwriter Sarah Kay. And just before the break, we were talking about your single 25. Can you tell us exactly how this opened up an exciting new musical chapter for you?
Yeah, I've released music in the past, and this was like Wonder, the EP, 25 were all the start in this last year of a really crazy journey. A lot of things accelerated my career. This accelerated my career. It's the first time I heard my song on the radio, on numerous radio stations, and it just blew my mind. So 25 was just talking about how I turned 25 years old, and I have no idea what's going on. I'm 26 now. I would like to say I'm more mature, that my frontal lobe is developed. I'm still on that journey, I think, but 25 has changed my career, and for the better. I want to be a role model, and I think music allows me to do that. And so 25 has just kind of brought me closer to that. The EP has brought me closer to that.
That's so cool. That's my daughter's age too. I like that age.
It's a good age. It's a fun age. It's
been okay. Enjoy it, darling. Enjoy it. I'm so much older. It's so great to be that number. Enjoy every minute.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's all have a listen to a clip from 25 by Sarah Kay. Let's all have a listen. Oh, I just love your music. There's something about your music that gets under my skin. I mean that in a positive way. Like it just...
Stop. I'm going to cry.
Yeah. It's really... It's like I'm adding you to my playlist. How can we get all of your music, actually?
I'm on the streaming services. So Spotify, Apple Music. I do put it on Bandcamp, things like that. So YouTube... Anywhere you're kind of looking, I should be there. And if not, send me a message and I'll try and figure that out, because awesome. I should be there.
It's so great. I'm always fascinated to hear a musical artist's influences. So just briefly, because I know we're coming to the end of our time and I want to hear more of your music, but I know Joni Mitchell is one of them. Can you tell us about her and others that have influenced you?
Yeah, there's so many great artists. I grew up listening to Johnny Cash. And so I think even if I'm not directly taking stylistically their music, they have inspired me as a songwriter. They make me feel connected to music. And so Joni Mitchell is one of those people. Johnny Cash is one of those people. I feel like I've just been listening to pop music my whole life too. So in different ways, the pop music that I've grown up with has kind of seeped into the music that I create. And I feel that whatever I'm listening to has a way of coming into the music that I make in like different ways, or I'll listen to a song and I'm like, I love that how they created this feeling. And I think that's how I take my inspiration, is that I want to take those feelings or that power in a song and find a way to have that come through in my music. And so when I'm writing, I don't necessarily keep those in mind, but I think it's subconsciously always there, that these are the people that I've looked up to. These are the people that I love, that I think have great stories to share. And I just want to be able to put that into my music too.
That's so awesome. How have you been able, you're very young, to navigate this music industry? It's not an easy one, as is all of the entertainment industry, but you know how to do it, I feel.
I like to think that I do, but it's been a lot of trial and error. I'm still figuring it out. And I like just learned how to properly do my taxes, which I want to say to any young artist figuring it out, keep track of that, because the CRA is, and if you're not, they know. So I've learned things the hard way. And I think sometimes you just kind of have to fail and fall down to figure out how to move forward. And I've had a really great support system, my parents being those people for me. And then also just people in my community. Thunder Bay, Ontario is filled with so many people who have continued to make this community such a safe place for artists. And so I want to honor those individuals who have helped me navigate further in this career.
So fabulous. Good for you.
Thank you.
As we said off the top, One Good Reason is one of the many songs to be released in 2025. So I'd love to share the song with our listeners, and would love it if you could just share your inspiration for your brainchild, One Good Reason.
Oh, One Good Reason. I was in a really tough space when I had just a little ways back. It was around COVID, you know, thinking about how I was stuck in these spaces. I felt like I wasn't progressing in life and doing the things that I wanted to. So One Good Reason is just a tribute to feeling how easy it can be to keep falling into the sadness that you're in and to sink in deeper. And that really, there's so many other great things to live for, even when you don't feel that in that moment. And so I thought of that song as I was writing it. I kind of wrote it after the fact and went, whoa, I was struggling more than I even realized. And I'm glad I have music to kind of relate to and even remind myself of those journeys or those struggles as well.
I bet all artists are going to relate to this, because I think for every musical artist, whether it's musical theater, opera, pop, rock, folk, any artist at this time in COVID, that was brutal.
Yeah, it was tough times.
It was a very, very tough time. Let's hear One Good Reason. Let's have a listen. Wow.
Thank you.
That was so beautiful and so inspirational. If people said that to you, there's something inspirational about it. Even though you're talking about a hard time, but I don't know, there's something elevating about that song. It's beautiful.
Thank you so much.
I know you're going to be doing a month-long music residency in Toronto in the near future. Can you tell us briefly what's involved in all of that?
Yeah, I don't think it's officially announced, so I think I'm okay to talk about it, but I'm just going to be doing a month with songwriting, kind of working on my craft, getting to meet other individuals. So it's just going to be, I think, a really good stepping stone in my career, something that I've been working towards. So I'm just honored and grateful to be chosen. And like I said, this has been a long time coming of working towards this. So I'm feeling very proud of it.
That's awesome. Will you come back on the show and tell us all about it after it's done and sing more for us?
Of course, I will always sing.
That's great. We'd love to hear about it.
Okay.
Keep in touch with us.
Yeah, we'll do.
There's a question that we ask everyone at the end of the show. And of course, we're going to ask, there's also a quest we go on in every show too, but there's also a question that we ask. And the question is, what is bliss for Sarah Kay?
Oh, bliss is friends, family, music, being outside, and reading a good book.
Awesome. What is the latest good book that you've read?
Recently, I just have finished a book called Yino Station. It's been written by a Japanese writer, author, and it was really beautiful. I read it while I was on a trip in Portugal. So it was a nice nice little book that I enjoyed.
Awesome. That's so great. Sarah, what's the best way for people to contact you, connect with you on social media, and listen to your beautiful music?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram and TikTok, Facebook. I'm also on Spotify and Apple Music, like I had mentioned earlier. So I'm kind of everywhere. And if you want to reach out, please do. I love making new friends throughout the world.
What's your Instagram handle? Because we operate a lot on Instagram. Can you share it?
Yes, Sarakae and then official. I tried to make it music, but somebody else had it.
That happens. I know. Yeah. That happens. I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. It really has been delightful to have you here. A real honor.
Thank you. I'm so happy I could make it out. And it's been great talking with you.
You as well. You as well. Each week, we spotlight a singer, songwriter, musician, someone fantastic like Sarah. So if you're a singer, please reach out to us. If you're an author, artist, yoga, meditation, or mindfulness expert, if you're a therapist, life coach, actor, dancer, anyone who has found their bliss and is following their bliss, we really would love to hear from you. Also, what did you love about today's show? Are there any guests or topics you'd like us to feature on Finding Your Bliss? Just write to us at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. For those of you who don't know, I'm the bliss coach. That means I help you get unstuck, gain clarity, and find your passion and purpose. Reach out to me at findyourbliss.com/coaching. I'm also an Insight Timer, the number one free meditation app. We did a little breathing off the top. Sarah can tell you how that worked. And all you have to do is search up Judy Liebrack. And of course, you can always follow us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. So when Tracy Aaron Smith was on our show a few weeks back, a new fringe show that's opening up this July reached out to Tracy and said they loved our program, Finding Your Bliss, and they wanted to know if they could also be on our show. But unfortunately, we're fully booked until August. So I thought I could give them a little plug in our Bliss News segment. So here goes. Their show is called Grown ASS'D Broads Talking Dirty. And it's an incredible show that's making its debut at this year's Toronto Fringe Fest. This show is all about the long-lasting friendship of five women who originally met when they were teenagers. Every month, the group of friends gather for a themed house party, and their gatherings feature booze, heated discussions, laughter, and plenty of profanity. This hilarious and touching play was written by Valerie Boyle, and it will be playing at the Performing Arts Lodges between July 2nd to the 13th. And you can purchase tickets to Grown ASS Apostrophe D Broad's Talking Dirty by visiting www.fringetoronto.com. Check that out. I would love to thank our wonderful guests, Tom Ernst and Sarah Kay, for being on the show today. Also, thank you to Mag Ruffman, Siobhan Kiley, Associate Producer Chelsea Lockstedt, Producer Eva Shabbatai, Olivia Vigiani, Audio Engineer Juliana Yannuziello, Senior Editor Lauren Kaminsky, Video Editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, Audio Producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center. And also to our segment sponsor, Ashford Cleaners. For everyone here, I'm Judy Lee Brack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.